Hi, everybody. I'm Sina Gaznavi, and my co-host Justin Williams and I are working with the team from Last Podcast of the Left to launch a new show called Fraudsters.
That's right. We're like the Hall of Shame for scammers. This season, we'll show you the future with Miss Cleo.
Call me now for your free reading.
We've got Ponzi schemes. We've got crypto fraud. We've got catfishing. This will be a perfect podcast. 100% guaranteed or your money back.
Sina, I think it's free.
Oh, that's right. Fraudsters, starting next week, listen for free, only on Spotify.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I even spent 7 days eating mushrooms and playing Uno.
Psychological mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms,
psychological mushrooms,
food mushrooms.
No, I've been eating problem porcinis, so I can really focus on what's wrong with me and how are we getting to down to the bottom of the problems of me.
Oh, that's great. Did you discover any?
Nope.
No, not at all.
Each time
you
I lift a manhole.
Vacation, you were tripping shrooms and you didn't discover any maybe possible flaws.
You're straight up. I just lift one manhole and it's like I go into a whole other dungeon. And then there's a manhole in that dungeon. I lift it up and there's a whole other worse dungeon.
The H.H. Holmes Horror House lives within the mind of Henry Zebrowski.
Three shoots. Going all the way down.
Whoa! Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. If I told you we didn't have a lot to talk about today, I'd be completely lying because everyone did everything wrong this past week. It's insane what happened. We have horse mutilations. We have people flying in the sky where they shouldn't be. We have politicians having sex with their sons, which I guess that's fairly par for the course.
Again, remember, if you're having sex with your child, if you marry them first, it's totally legit.
I don't think that that's true, but we'll talk about that story in a second. As a matter of fact, Henry, green man's choice, green hair choice. Where do you want to start this week?
All right, I want to talk about this. Popped up last night, and it's just one of the stories. This is more to me. This is a fun story.
Okay.
FBI investigating pilot's report of a guy in jetpack flying 3,000 feet in air near planes at LAX.
Now, it's the drunk rocketeer.
This is so much fun. This is a fun idea.
Not if you're on the plane.
Oh, man, I would wave at him.
No, you would not. You would
wave at Rocketeer. No,
you would freak out.
I feel like a part of maybe just the damage that has been done. Uh-huh. Over the years. And honestly, because I was talking about this, about how like I wave at the end of every Zoom meeting.
Yes.
Even if it's important and there's important people on the end of it, I go, bye-bye.
It's guaranteed. I'm going to say cute. And then the way you wipe the drool from your, the way Natalie wipes the drool from your face.
Bye-bye, mister. Bye-bye. TV show, please, mister.
Oh.
But then this time, if I did see a Rocketeer, because I think that just there's enough kernels of just, I don't know, looking for something wondrous to happen.
Sure.
If I saw a man fly past a window, I'd just go, bye, Mr. Man. Hi, Mr.
Right. You don't think that you would freak out immediately, slam all the whiskey that you have right in front of you. The amount of airline bottles that we go through is fascinating when we fly. You don't think you would just start freaking out and screaming?
I honestly, at this point, I'm so excited for anything different.
Okay.
If a man with a rocket pack went past my house, I'd go up and be like,
fine.
Take me with you, Rocket Man. Take me with you.
Oh, that'd be cute.
It would be fun to experience something else. The idea of seeing the leaks of reality. You see things slowly pour through.
Yeah.
But this is just a man with money. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is investigating after an American Airlines pilot. Boo! Delta! Big ups to
really?
Delta!
You have that much company loyalty?
You know, Delta.
Wow.
Woo, fuck you, American Airlines.
Whoa.
Reported seeing a mystery person in a jetpack flying high above Los Angeles. It's Elon Musk.
Okay, can I just ask this question? And I know you don't have an answer, but how doesn't he burn his legs? Because that was the thing with the Rocketeer. As I was watching it, even as a child, I was like, you're going to burn your legs because of all the flames coming out of the jetpack. How don't you do that?
Flame retardant pants. That's the only thing I can say.
It's the only thing I would think, too.
Because they have these jetpacks, apparently. So when it comes to accuracy and detail and reliability, this is according to Fox 11, right? You'd probably rank airline pilots right up there. And you would. It depends on when you get them. Because if you get them after a flight, a couple times they're four gins deep and they have a lot of controversial views about the deep state.
They'll let you know.
But so when American Airlines pilot reported via radio to the control tower seeing a guy in a jetpack as he was approaching LAX at about 3,000 feet and 10 miles out for a landing, you have to give it some serious credibility. And I do believe a part of that. So they're saying we have no clue. Based on some research by this reporter, they say, and I was sort of looking into it, jetpacks can fly that high. You can get a high grade one. I don't know how it flies because I know they have the ones. You ever seen the ones with the water hose?
I've seen that, but it doesn't look like there was any water around here.
No, they put your Uncle Bill in one of those and he's just like,
I experience that every Saturday morning after 30 Bud Lights.
How?
With my butt. It's a poop joke.
Oh, you're talking about shit? Kissel, will you ever grow up?
Oh my God, stop it. All right. Well, I have to say this. Number one, I think this guy he flew too close to the sun.
He did. And he's only 3,000 feet.
This case, the sun was an airplane, and you got to be careful. He's going to get sucked into the engine. You've seen those videos on Live Leak. He's going to end up getting pooped out the other side, mutilated, dead, and then who's going to provide for his weird space-loving family?
That's what happens.
No one.
When you have a father or a husband that lives to the sky, he's closer to a bird than a man.
Yes,
and
he is.
You're going to sit here and try to hold him down to the ground? You have to let these people fly, because if not, you know what they do? Family annihilators.
I completely agree with that. Get him out of the house, put him up in
but
the heavens, otherwise he's going to kill you all.
Exactly. This is the Martin jackpack, the 200 kilogram jetpack. All right, how
you
much
can
does
just
that
buy
weigh?
This thing?
You can just fucking buy this thing.
I can buy this? I mean, it probably is too much money, but
2 pounds.
What are we going for?
This is a 400-pound jetpack. You see this
Holy
thing? It's like you
I
strap
do.
Into this. It's powered by a V4 two-stroke engine. It's burning on a mode of gasoline. So you fucking fill it up at the gas station, which is incredible. The aircraft,
why aren't we just using these to get to work?
Because everyone gets mad about, like, they say, it will fuck with, like, helicopters and shit. But that's the
fucking you don't
police
only go
state.
But you don't have to go 3,000 feet. You could also go 100 feet.
Well, that's what I'd like
air.
To do.
Yes.
I fucking love to buzz people. But you can go for 30 minutes. You can fly at 3,000 feet.
Why? I'm not even joking. This needs to be the future of transportation.
You start
traffic
to sound like Gallagher.
Horrible.
Do you remember when Gallagher went on that whole thing? But he wanted to buy helicopters, and he said helicopters should replace taxis.
Gallagher wasn't only right about comedy; he's also right about transportation, and I think he's onto something. No, this needs to happen. But right now, what's going on is no one knows who this guy is. Efforts to find out more about the pilot went absolutely nowhere.
Of course not. He's fucking in the sky. He's a bird.
That's a little horrifying. Don't you think it's a little scary that you can just zip by a plane?
It's Tom Cruise. These are only a couple of people that would accurately. Because it's why are we doing this? Mostly, honestly, I'm trying to get laid. You're in a jetpack.
I don't know.
I honestly think a lot of this has got to do showing various people. You got the jetpack. There's somebody down there. I want to say that you have some maybe new, the Ana de Armas. Who's a new one of these starlets, right? You're trying to impress her. You're
sure.
A 60-year-old actor. They won't insure you anymore because you want to do your own stunts, but you keep breaking your fucking spindly legs.
No one
you
does their own stunts but Jackie Chan.
And Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, to me, is still, because he did technically rent a $700,000 barge in order to safely film the new Mission Impossible movie during COVID. He is insane. So if anybody would do it, it is Tom Cruise. He needs a jetpack to shoot past how much he wants to kiss every man he sees. He has to go up into the clouds because, there's some people that say clouds are gay. But guess what?
Tom Cruise says that?
Some people.
No, clouds are clouds.
Clouds are
neutral. Sometimes they can look like penises, and sometimes it does look like a mouth sucking said penis in the clouds. But that's only if you're creative in your mind.
But Tom Cruise is up there. He's finally free, and then at the same time he does double coverage by convincing whatever starlet that he's grooming to be his new Scientology slave wife to be into it, because then they get to ride in the jetpack and buzz all the planes and scare people.
I think you are greatly maligning one of the greatest American actors of all time, and one of the greatest crazy people of all time, Tom Cruise. Two retired pilots who currently teach and consult on aviation safety say they would absolutely believe the pilot in that situation, given, quote, their trained eyes and visual awareness.
Yep.
So look at that.
Which is also how they pick the best wives.
Yeah, I don't know. You are definitely onto something today. The pilot estimated the jetpack was only about 300 yards out of his window. So that's three fucking football killer. Fields away.
That's so fucking killer. Hi, Mr. Rocketeer, man. Even if I was co-pilot, I'd flick the lights. You know when trucks go by? I still do.
I do the honk honk. I love the honk honk.
I love the honk honk.
I love the honk honk.
It's one of the only ways to have fun during quarantine.
I agree. I love the honk honk. The drivers love to honk honk.
You'd be surprised how many cars honk when you do the honk motion.
It is something ingrained in us as a species. When you see the arm go up,
honk honk, honk, honk,
you have to honk honk.
You have to honk honk, and it's honestly distanced. It's safe for you and the family. I suggest that, honestly, this weekend, go out and spend some time by your local highway.
Go on a bridge.
See how many people you can get to honk at you.
I bet you can get 100 people in an hour.
And then you and your partner choose your weakest child and abandon them.
I agree with that. All right. Well, that is the jetpack story of the week, and I don't think we'll have one next week or next month. I don't think we're going to have a lot more jetpack stories until we get them used every single day by commuters who are going to work to make our lives better.
But
that's what I said.
Think about that, too. You go to work every day with your jetpack.
It's cool.
And it's just like, let's say you're an accountant, or you're a guy that takes all the discarded foreskins from the emergency room after all the circumcisions. Like, that's your job.
Sure.
You take it to the biological hazard. Yeah, you got to take it to the waste department. But
you
do it in a jetpack? That's
well, you don't need the
hell.
Jetpack inside, Henry.
Yeah, you do it a little on the helipad. You land in the helipad. You get your garbage can all full of foreskins. And then you zip back to the cemetery and you bury all that shit.
That is how you create a demon.
What about the jarring thing of you and your jetpack fucking... You just smashed a bird. You just destroyed a fucking bird
well,
on
you
your way
get
to
hurt
work.
By a bird. Birds will mess you up. The Canadian goose will kill you.
I fucking hate Canadian geese.
I do too.
But
make
you
them in the jackets.
There's got to be an emotional whiplash from having such an exciting commute to go to your job.
That's true. I think you would just stay in the air and just go somewhere else.
It's like being in a Honda and driving to your job where you're a race car driver.
That's a good point, actually, Henry.
You show up with your little fucking...
Sad.
Sad.
Yeah.
You're driving your jerk-mobile.
Right.
And all of a sudden you go into the F-150 and you're just there, ew.
You know
That's
a lot
fun.
About cars.
Yep. I really
all
do.
Right. Well, let's just change gears here for a second. I have been talking about what's going on Pornhub for a long time. I know they have a controversy when it comes to what's happening with the children. They got to clean up the site.
They have to clean up the site. And other videos and other different video aggregators for porn do the same thing. They lump all of these mother and stepson situations. Mom's always stuck.
I don't know what's going on. All I know is on the front page, it's always mother and son or stepdad and stepdaughter, whatever's going on. And people seem to be taking this a little bit too literally. A mother and her adult son have been charged with incest after somebody caught them having sex in Massachusetts with each other.
Oh, where was this? At a Red Sox game? Got you, Red Sox fans.
It's very possible. Cheryl Lavoie and Tony Lavoie. Okay, that's
same last name.
Yeah, well, because it's mother and son, you see. So,
but then for a while, though, when you go to hotels, you can kind of pretend that you're just married.
Yes, of course you could. Cheryl is 64 years old, and her son Tony is 43, so you don't see that trope so much on Pornhub.
This is why you wanted to read the story. That's what you said, and we were both talking about this. Is that I don't know why there's something that is... I mean, obviously, there's something about them being both, like, over 40... That
it was
truly creeps me out.
It's a choice they've made. Back in May,
it's a lifestyle now.
Well, Tony, of course, this is the son of Cheryl, who was found having sex with. He also has a wife. Okay, so Tony has a wife.
He was cheating on his wife with his mother?
This is what happens when you cancel frickin' Maury Povich. These people don't have a platform, and this is why we have to discover them this way. This is why we need Springer back. So Tony's wife caught the two having sex at their home in
Pittsburgh.
Oh my
God, the wife fucking caught them? Oh my God, I would commit suicide.
Well, we don't know if she has or hasn't at this point.
Oh!
This story is disgusting.
How do you love ever again?
Okay, you don't. No, you're done. Because obviously she's past four. Like, she's just done. She's like, she could have had another romance. But no, I mean, how do you even broach the subject and be like, oh, wow, you're divorced. So am I. I'm so happy we met on divorcee.com. So what happened with you in your past relationship?
Well, you know, our big thing is that we kind of had a communication issue. So honestly, we kind of grew apart over the years. So that's really why we kind of broke up. But what happened with you?
Well, I walked in on Tony. Remember Tony, who's my ex-husband?
Yeah, you've mentioned him a couple times, and you scratched his name into the table a couple times.
Yeah.
And big, various, vicious exes over and over
again. No, I still love him. I found him having sex with his mother, and he didn't invite me to join in. So I had to file for divorce.
I have to tell you this, honestly. There's something so gross about your personal story. That I can't have sex with you.
Great. Another one gone. So Tony's wife caught them having sex. It was about 59 miles northwest of Boston. Insert your Boston jokes there. We love the people of Boston. And who knows what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference playoffs. A lot of things happening there.
How did you pivot to basketball?
I am desperately trying to get out of this story.
Brought this up.
I know, because it's amazing. So both Cheryl and Tony separately told responding officers that it was the first time that they had sex. 64 and 43 was the first time.
So they just decided they were so horny for each other in that moment after he's 43 years old.
I don't know.
Oh, God. You know what happened is this is the problem. This is one of those things that very seldom spoken about side effects of reading Eat, Pray, Love. Right. Like, you know, live your life to your fullest, like do the thing that you say you want to do that you've been neglecting. Say, like, he listens to that song.
I don't remember the .. incest portion of Eat, Pray, Love.
No one wanted that. But okay. They didn't understand that you could extrapolate it to that point because no one wanted to think like that. But if he sat and listened to that song, like, say what you want to say. Let the words fall out on a slide. I want to see you leave. And he's like sitting there like watching his mom in her sheer nightgown.
A 64-year-old mom and a 43-year-old son. That's
finally
what you're talking about.
I don't want this.
Okay, so when it came to the detectives being like, so what's happening here? They both said it was consensual, but they had slightly different answers. And if you thought this story was disgusting, it just kind of gets grosser here.
Oh, God.
Tony said, I don't know. It just happened. And Tony's mother, Tony's mother, on the other hand, told the officer, quote, the pair had become closer over the last several months and the sex occurred after they started kissing.
I'm literally going to I'm going to execute myself. Dude, I quit the show.
Well,
I quit. I can't do this anymore.
Well,
that was the mom's action? That was the mom's response?
The mom's response was they've been closer over the past several months.
Oh, God, and it's just such like a fucking, I can see my mom. My mom, that's how my mom talks about like the men from the Outlander series.
Yeah.
That she talks about like the two Scottish men, like a Scottish man with a kilt with no shirt on and the woman from the 1980s hanging by a creek and then they just got closer and closer and now their differences brought them together. This is mother and son.
This is mother and son. They started kissing after they became closer for the past several months.
I want to never exist.
And apparently, love, which I guess is what this is. Maybe not. I don't know what this is. But they have been charged with incest, which is a felony. Their trial has been scheduled for October 27th. If convicted, and I actually don't know if this is fair or not.
Don't.
The pair faces up to 20 years in state prison. 20 years in state prison. I mean, don't know. I feel like they could just have a sign outside of their house says that motherfucker, ..
literally.
Sonfucker. And then everyone would be like, oh, that's the guy who fucks his mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if prison really is needed here. I think the public shame when he goes to the local Piggly Wiggly and everyone's like, Tony, you fuck, how's your mom's pussy
your
smell?
Mom's pussy, yeah, you fuck that Tony. Mom's pussy tonight?
You're like, I feel like that is worse than prison.
I feel like we should be doing as much as possible as a society. Because media isn't, as we're seeing from Pornhub and we're seeing from these other sites.
Sure, if that's all you consider. Well, I guess Pornhub is kind of media,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. This activity needs to be discouraged.
I think that it is openly discouraged, Henry.
Societally, sort of is, because it's creeping deeper and deeper.
Deeper, deeper.
Into our sexual fantasies, because you're seeing it pop up, and they seem to be making enough money off of this whole topic to do it. So maybe they do need to have a steep prison sentence so that they don't have sex with their mothers.
What are you in for? I had sex with my mother.
That's what you get.
That is not, like,
that's
I know that,
what you get. I think that maybe it should be 6 months of that.
Yes.
Yeah, like 5 years of that. 5 years of having to answer the question, what you in for?
Right.
I think is really, really important for them to learn the lesson.
I agree.
Because there's some form of body, like, but you need a fucking body, like, behavior modification. has to get in there.
Yes,
obviously.
I agree. But do we rehabilitate in our prisons? That's the question.
That is a really good question.
Or is he going to come out more horny for mommy than ever?
Oh God, yeah. Because then you haven't been with, you've been without mommy for so long, and then
I
mommy is the one person that can visit you.
This is a disgusting conversation we're having.
You did this.
This is the people did this. They did this. Tony and his mom did this.
Boston did this.
Boston kind of also did this. And again,
I'm sorry, Boston.
They have a
great
defense there.
The Celtics, green monster.
Yeah, the green monster has just taken on a whole nother meaning.
Oh,
so
God.
Anyway, that's going on in this country right now, just in case you needed to know. But apparently, mother-son relations aren't just unique to America. As a matter of fact, this next tale that Henry has brought to our attention, this involves more than just incest. Actually, I don't even know. Is it technically incest? Whatever it is, we'll talk about it.
We'll get into this. This is a story that I can only begin to describe. Truly, I feel like this is one of those kind of like, you should also look up information about this because it is twisty and turny.
So weird.
It kind of reminds me of the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case, but it takes place in Brazil. There's a woman by the name of Flor Delis dos Santos de Souza. She's from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. She was a gospel-singing Brazilian lawmaker.
Okay.
So this is essentially like a congressperson or like that level in Brazil. I only know so much about Brazilian politics, which is literally absolutely zero.
I know they have nuts. The Brazilian nut?
I honestly don't even think that the Brazil nut is from Brazil.
No kidding.
I don't know.
Series of lies.
This is from Tom Phillips from The Guardian. Now, this woman, she was a celebrity. She was a gospel singer, became very, very famous because it's a very famous rags to riches story.
Okay.
She was from the favelas of Rio de Janeiro. That is like their very intense. It's like low-income communities that are often rife with a lot of chaos.
She made it.
She made it. And it was a big story. So much so that in 2009, there was a movie made about her life featuring some of the biggest celebrities in Brazilian TV and movies.
The Bumblebee perhaps showed up.
That is Univision from 25 years ago. And I honestly don't think it was. I think it's just from The Simpsons.
Okay.
It's different. Don't disregard that as a listener. But this story.
But regard the child having sex with his mother story, please.
I have to. We did it. We reported on it.
Of course.
But.
Oh, yes. We reported on it.
We're reporters. We are officially reporters.
Is that what we're doing now?
So this story is. All right. So she made it. So this is a big deal. That 2009 movie was made for free by all the actors. And they raised money to help house Flor Delis and the 55 children that she slowly, essentially accumulated by adopting for many years from the favela community, right?
Now,
she's saving all
much,
of these people.
55 children. If Angelina Jolie, and I'm not even going to say this out loud, but I will because I have to because it's audio. If we find out she's having sex with any of those kids she's adopted, that's going to be a big story, won't it be?
You're right.
Yes,
I
indeed.
Really, and I don't
Wouldn't
want this. I don't want this.
Yes, indeed.
There's a Twitter account called Cringe Control. I don't know. I can't speak to anything else that they post about, but I do know that they did a bunch of links breaking down the story. And so this is very, very interesting. So Flor Delis, she had three biological children and had adopted five teenagers in the very beginning. And then she called them her A-kids, right? Now, why are they called A-kids? She started getting involved with social causes, getting the number of... She ended up adopting 55 kids from the favelas. And so eventually, this was a big deal, but she chose the first one of her kids was a man. He became a man.
He became a man.
By the name of Anderson de Como.
Okay.
And so what happens is that as he grew up, she adopted him when he was 14 years old. And when she adopted him, she was just his mommy. But then when they got older, they became a little bit more than mommy and son. They became husband and wife.
Oh,
she
married him,
right? So this was a very strange thing. You know, it seemed, but they got very close. But now we're seeing that Anderson de Carmo was murdered. He was murdered last year. He was gunned down outside of their home on the last year. When the singer, if the fans would just call her Flor Delis. And it looks like she said that he was killed by thieves. But it's starting to look like she's being accused of this crime, plotting with seven of the adopted kids to murder Anderson de Carmo. They shot him over 30 times in the dick.
30 times in the dick?
He
I mean, I don't want to be rude, but
in the groin.
How big was that? I mean, that's
30 times. It was,
you got,
it was destroyed.
I got a one bullet dick.
I mean,
one bullet, that thing's gone.
I have a one bullet 30. Dick as well.
My goodness
and
gracious.
So this is a story that is very, very intense, right? The first five adopted kids had pretty good lives, right? And the biological kids.
Okay.
The B kids that she called, the people she started bringing, live in sort of like squalor, reported eating old pasta with sausages and dry bread every single day, right?
That is what I eat.
That is what you eat, but you choose
it.
All
weekend. Yeah.
All right, so one of her sons, now they have this kind of like initiation process where whenever she adopts a new child, they spend days dressed in white, locked in a room, eating only rice and vegetables. He alleges that then they use their own blood to write psalms. And then after a while, they were purified. And the way they get purified was you sleep with fleur-de-lis.
Oh my God. So she had sex with all the kids.
We don't know what's real or not. We don't know what's real. All of this starting to come out.
Well,
this whole accusation.
The last story seemed like it was on like a PG made for a Hallmark movie.
It seems there are texts pointed to her, but because she's an elected official in Brazil, she has political immunity.
So she can't get charged with having sex with any of her children or murdering her husband / child.
Nothing. But there's a lot of different. They're trying to figure out, like, there's a lot of bullshit of why she did this part. She's very, very, very Christian. So she believed the divorce, her and her husband were, that relationship was falling apart. So she orchestrated the murder. But they tried many times to kill him in many different ways. The whole family.
So this guy's like Rasputin with a huge dong and they can't die?
They tried to kill him by poisoning him. There's a whole lot of bullshit here. This is crazy, but they think that, so that was one thing. She was worried about the shame of divorce, and she wanted to murder him instead of divorcing him. But then there's probably also another reason, which is that Anderson de Carmo was also kind of like this influential evangelical minister.
Yes, he was a minister as well.
And they think that maybe it really could have like fucked everything, because what fleur-de-lis basically said was that if they got divorced, it would quote unquote scandalize God. But also she was worth a lot of money by this point.
Ah.
So they would have to split that pot if they got divorced.
Of course, God is a euphemism for money. Police said a copy of the investigation with evidence of the charges has been sent to the lower house of Congress in Brazil. The statement said she could be stripped of her parliamentary position, allowing for criminal proceedings to be pursued further. So as long as she holds power, isn't this an interesting story? It's reminiscent of what goes on
in our country. Yeah, it's perhaps interesting. It seems that if you get power and you just keep it, it's really hard to like put you in jail.
It's better to have it. That's what I'm understanding. So it looks like it's possible she loses her parliamentary seat and then she can be charged with murdering her husband's son, and then it seems also like a lot of child abuse.
A lot of child abuse. This story is fucking wild, and it's going to be a movie starring, what's her name, from Abre los Ojos.
What is that?
Abre los Ojos.
I have no idea.
You ever seen that movie? That's a good movie.
What is it?
Abre los Ojos.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
What's her name is in it? She's beautiful. Penelope Cruz.
Yes, I haven't heard of Penelope Cruz in a long time, but yes, she is beautiful and she would be great. So the homicide, I don't know what that means.
It means open your eyes.
See, now I know.
But in a capital Espanol, you do it. Abre los ojos.
You're such a linguistic master. The homicide chief, Antonio Ricardo Lima Nunez, he told reporters the conclusion the investigation reached was this. The motive was that she was unhappy with the way in which Pastor Anderson lived his life and handled the family finances. At the time of his death, Sosa testified to police that her husband had been killed, as Henry said, during a robbery. So it looks like money was involved, which is the least shocking thing about this story.
It's really very, it's sad what money does to families.
I mean, I don't.
This is not one of those stories.
This was maybe set up to fail. I think this family with the 55 adopted kids that she was having sex with,
I think fleur-de-lis
was set up to fail. But
I think fleur-de-lis is a villain. I think she's like a super villain. Talking about in general. It's sad what money does to families. Because
oftentimes it makes families amazing.
Money's flowing. But then when the money doesn't, so when the money stops flowing and everybody starts fighting, when grandpa dies and he's hidden gold, and the only way you can find out where the gold is that he...
Are you talking about the plot of Curly's gold? Whatever the hell is the name
City
of that
Slickers
Billy...
City Slickers 2.
That's... City Slickers 2. Much, I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, please do yourself a favor.
Oh, yeah. Stop everything. Stop everything and see City Slickers 2. What a time period, though, truly, of like, I've seen so much bullshit movies in the last, like, 5 months. Like, I'll just blow through in a weekend. Like, Natalie and I will watch, like, 6, 7, 8 movies, just doing whatever.
The nice thing is, with television dying and them not creating any new shows, all they're doing is buying the comedies from the 1990s. So, like, the Paramount Network, it's all Tommy Boy, perhaps City Slickers is on there, and I will watch all of those movies again and again, and I'll laugh, and I'll laugh like I was when I was a chubby little child.
Who knows? I think that maybe, you know, Daniel Stern might have bought the rights to City Slickers, and he's waiting for the reboot.
Daniel Stern is a very serious actor. Just look at Home Alone 1 and 2.
He's great in those movies.
I love him. All right.
The best part of Judd.
No kidding.
Judd is not a good film, though, unfortunately.
Let's talk about a hero, but this is not Hero of the Week. I think you all know what the Hero of the Week is going to be.
Following recent news, then you know exactly who Hero of the Week is.
But this is an interesting tale out of Eugene, Oregon. A local woman used a bear rifle to save a kidnapping victim from possibly being murdered on Sunday.
What is the difference between a bear rifle and a normal rifle?
I think a bear rifle makes a fun growl when you shoot it.
Oh, that is fun.
That is fun. So she's just driving down the street, and all of a sudden she spots this dude. He's covered in blood, and he's like, please God, help me. This is horrible. What's happened to me? We have no idea why this guy was covered in blood or what the beef was with this other dude. But she ran into the guy, and the man told her, he's going to kill me, and he's probably going to kill you since you are here. The woman was like, you know what? Not today. Jesus, take the wheel. Not happening today. She told the dude who was covered in blood, who was obviously a victim in this case, go hide in the woods. She grabs her bear rifle. She hunts down the dude.
I will say, it does sound like she set him up to be a victim of just a bear. If there's enough bears out there for you to need a bear rifle
blood.
Yeah, you cover it out there. It's like a fucking succulent treat. It's like if someone put a pair of Jordans filled with nugs outside of my house with a fucking rope attached to it.
Oh my God, or some Salisbury steak covered in that gravy. And I will stand by Salisbury steak. People make fun of it all the time. But my friends never liked it when I was in seventh grade lunch. And I would get all their Salisbury steak. And I think it's delicious because you don't even need to cut it with a knife. You don't even really need a fork.
Technically, I think that speaks to your ability to be a survivor.
Thank you.
Because you could eat whatever comes down. But I honestly don't think you've had Salisbury steak in about 25 years.
I have not. But I would. I would. I would do it.
We're doing it.
I love the idea. So when she saw another man walking down the highway with a handgun, she got, obviously this person is the perpetrator here. She got her hunting rifle and waited for the troopers to arrive. Troopers arrived at the scene around 7:30 a.m. This is what happens in the morning, folks. But the suspect had already fled the scene on foot. He and a second suspect remain at large, and the third was taken into custody. Michael Light, 39, of Florence, faces charges of second-degree assault and first-degree kidnapping. Investigators say Light and the two other men assaulted the man for an extended period of time in his campsite. Light then kidnapped a woman who the bear hunter says was the victim's girlfriend and Light's ex-girlfriend. A search found Light and the female victim in a vehicle in the area, and Light was taken into custody. Michael Loki Wilson, he's 31 of Florence, and Jonathan Dakota Applett, 28 of Florence, were identified as the other two suspects.
It sounds an episode of fucking, it sounds like Fargo.
It does sound like Fargo. It's totally insane, and they are still at large. So if you have any information, contact the Springfield Area Command. And you can find their number. It's 541-726-2536 if anyone is going to remember that. But these two dudes are still at large, and this woman is a real freaking hero. She doesn't want to be identified. And
of course not. No, she sounds like she's a real – she is both a good but sovereign citizen.
Absolutely.
If you look at this, man, look at this. 10 best bear defense guns from when your life depends on it. Look at this. This is intense. When you head into bear country.
When you head into bear country. You must accept that you are no longer at the top of the food chain. Luckily, most bears usually do not want any trouble and will leave the area as soon as they detect you. However, this is not always the case, and you should be prepared to defend yourself if you get in a tight situation.
I agree!
But honestly, look at these bear guns. Look what it says. Oh, this is sad. A charging bear can move. All right, so it says to make a lot of noise first. And it says carry bear spray
click,
first
clack,
thing.
Click, clack, something like that. Whoa! Fuck!
Wet-ass pussy.
Whoa!
Wet-ass pussy.
Whoa!
And you go, a charging bear can move extremely fast, and only you have to hit it in its fucking brain. It says here that only a hit on the bear's central nervous system, brain, or spine is guaranteed to stop a bear in its tracks.
What?
Leave him alone.
Well, if the bear's going to eat you, hunt you down, and kill you, I mean, you know, I think you have to shoot it.
You got to do it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, in this case, of course, the bear was a person or two people trying to murder what seemed to be a couple, three people actually trying to murder a couple there. Don't know why. But those bear guns, it's interesting. I thought they were going to be larger. It seems like a lot of handguns. Right here.
Yeah, this handgun looks like it's pretty big. I'll fucking kill you with one of these.
Well, that's one of the great things about being out in L.A. When you start walking around, you see all the gun stores, and there's something that draws you into them. I haven't walked in yet, but my God, if I walked in, I want to get a bear rifle.
You can get a bear rifle at Walmart.
Yeah, you can. All right.
Good for them. Good for Walmart. That's great. What a good thing.
Absolutely.
Really convenient, and it's really, I'm just glad how easy it is to get a gun.
You know, God knows, because those bears are everywhere.
They're
everywhere. You know how you see bears every day?
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, I see one every day I look in the mirror.
Absolutely. And according to, and on the websites you look at there, too. So just lastly, this is a short little ditty I wanted to talk about when it comes to donations. Just be careful. Who you're donating to, because this man, and this goes into our next story that I know Henry really wants to talk about, but this is kind of a precursor to it. An Arizona man allegedly faked having ALS to earn thousands of dollars in donations.
That's incredibly sad.
It is incredibly sad.
It is a brutal, brutal disease.
It is horrible, and the story we're going to talk about next is amazing, because this guy is becoming
this is your ultimate fear.
We'll talk about it. But this dude, so this guy, his name is, he's a Chandler man. His name is Christopher Wade Nelson. He's a real schmuck, okay? This is schmuck of the week, if we ever did a schmuck of the week. He's 49 years old.
I think it's just called Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah, basically. He said he had ALS this past July. He started taking in donations. He allegedly made $30,000. He defrauded all of his old high school friends. Because I don't know, because you think, I mean, how well are they doing?
How much money did he make?
30 grand.
That's not enough to destroy every relationship you've ever had in the amount of money. The closest, honestly, to destroy your entire reputation and burn every bridge that you ever created in your life, honestly, 10 million.
This guy is pathetic. He allegedly accepted those donations from 20 individuals over 5 years. Now, I'm not going to victim blame here, but if you do know anything about ALS, you don't got 5 years. Like, no, you won't be soliciting funds for a very long time. It was unclear if he entered a plea in the case. But anyway, according to KTVK, between May 2018 and May 2020, Nelson allegedly claimed he'd been diagnosed with ALS. And this is just, you got to be careful, because we see these frauds all the time. As a matter of fact, it's a perfect little plug for Fraudsters, our new show here on the Last Podcast Network. Yes. This happens all the time.
All the time.
If someone says they have ALS, go, and then you have to try to knock them over. And if they don't fall over, they don't got it. And then they're not getting your money either.
But also, you know what I would say? I'd be real light with immediately physically attacking people who say that they have ALS. I'm just going to say that as a caveat. Don't. If you know them, then you'll know.
Absolutely, you will. It's a devastating disease. He also took to Instagram to convince an owner of a vehicle shop to fix his truck for free, quote, so he could take one last ride.
That's this very, guy. What a piece of shit.
He's so horrible.
Here's the real guy. Dr. Peter Scott Morgan. This is a scientist who was diagnosed with ALS. This is the same disease that Stephen Hawking famously had.
Is this not the story of Doc Octagon from Spider-Man?
Dr. Octopus?
No, not Dr. Octopus. That's from. I was going to say 7-Eleven.
That is Spider-Man. That is Spider-Man.
No, Dr. Octopus. Isn't it? No, that's 007.
Yeah, it's Doc Octopus. No.
No, is it Octopus? Yeah. His name is Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, Dr. Octopus.
So if there's
his
more
octopus hands. Thank
if
you,
he
Travis.
Has more than one, there's not, it's Doc Octopi. What is going? No,
I'm
it's
not speaking. I'm not speaking with you about this specific subject anymore. This specific subject is over.
It's not Doc Octagon.
It is not Doc.
Is
Octagon.
It a rapper named
there's
Doc?
There's a rapper. What's
I think
his name?
Minneapolis.
Doc Octagon. Rapper.
Dr. Octopus. But he's not even
yes,
wet.
Yes, Dr. Octagon is a rapper.
I know.
Dr. Octopus is the Spider-Man villain. You're derailing this.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm playing Spider-Man right now. I am Spider-Man currently.
Love that game. It's amazing.
I'm Spider-Man.
You're not.
Giant. Look, I'm Spider-Man, Kizzle. I'm making some webs.
You're masturbating. Okay, great. Thank you.
So this guy got, essentially ALS is a death sentence. He was given two years to live.
So bad.
You become, you get what's called the worst thing in the world, locked-in syndrome.
Ugh.
Where you become totally paralyzed down your eyeballs. But Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, he was given this and he was like, fuck this. I'm ready to jump off this thing. He's like, I don't want to be human anymore. I'm going into full cyborg.
Okay.
He has created, so far, it looks like they are working on a working model for an exoskeleton that he's going to be inside.
So cool.
He's already spent dozens and dozens and dozens of hours recording his voice to create a proper facsimile of his voice. And he has an avatar. So basically, okay, his dream is to live inside of a machine. He's already deplumbed, what do you call it, basically redone the plumbing of his gastrointestinal tract.
RoboCop style.
Yes. So wow. Now he has a tube that he can be fit. He doesn't need a carer as much anymore. The goal is to connect all of this to the inside of a massive exoskeleton.
Okay.
That he will eventually be able to control with just his thought. And he has a TV screen in front of it. This is shit.
That's
fucking
crazy.
Sci-fi, real shit. This is what I'm talking
about.
But
I like this because this man, I mean, if you've had a chance to see the documentary Gleason, all about the New Orleans Saints player who blocked the punt after Hurricane Katrina, started off the Super Bowl champion season for the New Orleans Saints. It's one of the saddest documentaries you can ever see because he got ALS.
Oh my God.
And then I also had a situation when I was taking care of the dogs in the East Village. Our upstairs neighbor got ALS. It was a beautiful woman, British woman. And I remember coming home one day and she was with her husband and her husband was like, let me help you. And she's like, I can do it. It came to walking up the stairs. She could no longer do it. And this was the time frame of maybe a month. ALS is
devastating.
Oh, it's the worst. I don't know what I would do. I honestly don't. This man is extremely, I'm going to say hashtag brave for doing this.
But you watch this idea. I love the idea of just the brain living on. I always have, obviously.
Because my body is insufficient.
My goal was to make my brain as tight as possible, just in case this is possible. But
Is that why you tripped shrooms for the past week? To make it as tight as possible?
In her experience, Henry Zebrowski is really discovering some new things about how I'm not me.
Really?
But if Dr. Peter Scott Morgan can do this, because he's one of those like brilliant, like very optimistic futurists. So he's pumping a lot of money and there's a lot of research going into figuring out, can this actually happen?
Yeah.
Because his goal, he can't wait to destroy what he says, the feeble-minded flesh and blood human body. Like his whole thing is being like, I will be stronger and run faster and jump higher than any human being on earth, but I will be a deteriorating husk inside of a shell
that is crazy.
Run by my mind. But all of this is weirdly getting connected again to the Elon Musk weird shit he's doing with the neurotransmitters.
With the piggies.
Because pigs are biologically closer to human beings than any other animal, like the way that they work. Yep. And so that's kind of the weird linchpin that they're waiting for. They're waiting for the ability to connect the mind to the machine.
If the pigs help us cure ALS, we need to stop eating them. That's what I'll say. And then they can wear little hats and they can be mayors.
I agree.
Okay.
If we can make pigs think like us.
They can think. I mean, they love slop. You know, what's more American than slop? We love it. After this is according to the good doctor here again. This is Peter. He says, after a series of tests, I was diagnosed with a motor neuron disease, a horrific, cruel disease. He was with his partner the whole time, Francis. They have been together since he was nearly 21 years old. He says, it is a shock. How do we deal with this? I've shed a tear. You feel alone. You feel very afraid, Francis says. Watching him deteriorate, it's traumatic. I mean, that's the thing we also don't talk about. It is a full-time job now for the partner of someone who has ALS.
Oh, no. It is a,
and
it's
it changes,
a whole family. The whole
it
family
changes everything.
has to pitch in. And then think about the guilt that one can end up feeling being so dependent on all of these people when you go so fast from being a independently bodied human being into all of a sudden having to, you need everyone. You
yes.
need them to come and take care of you. So this
oh
is
my
his,
God.
He's being a trailblazer. The whole
he
point
is
to move forward. And apparently he's already a year past his diagnosis. They only gave him two years to live. And he was supposed to die a year ago. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of money going into this, and which is, unfortunately for the American healthcare system, it doesn't exist for most human beings.
Well, this doesn't exist for anyone but this guy right now.
But that's also the thing, too, is that how far is the divide between the classes going to go that only the super rich can leave mortality.
Well, hopefully it can get, we can have Walmart start selling these, or Amazon will start selling these kits in 10 years. According to the good doctor, he says he wants to become, quote, the most advanced human cybernetic organism ever created in 13.8 billion years.
Yeah, dude.
So what are we doing? You know, like, this guy's just like,
we do this show, but we will be, the only thing I am like a tiny bit concerned of is like the years we'll spend like cowering in fear from him. But
yes, that's
once
scary.
He adjusts to the responsibility, I'm certain that maybe he'll, well, as long as we can be jesters, that's all I've been saying. Look at this shit too.
How do you make a robot laugh?
Oh, you tell him your plans. Now, if you see, look at this shit, the Furion Exobionics Alpha Mech pilot program is also going live.
Okay.
You can spend $3,000 to learn how to pilot one of these new mech suits that this guy is working on.
Oh, I've seen those,
He's calling them sport mechs. This is a guy by the name of Jonathan Tippett who is creating these sport mechs where he's like, I hope to create a world of robot races and robot sports where we can use your limbs. You can learn how to do it. It's operated literally by you running inside of the cage that you can run and jump and lift shit
it's
and watch them fight each other.
It's just not
going
to be used in sports. It's going to be used in war. But anyway, I am for, as I've said, BattleBots. Apparently, by the way, I got a message from a listener. BattleBots will be coming back. No. They are filming the new season right now.
Yes!
So we'll see what happens.
That's what I'm talking about. So. I don't need a new Beavis and Butthead. I need BattleBots. I don't need another reboot.
No, I
guess BattleBots is a reboot.
Well, but it's always new because it's live action. Yes. Anyway, this is according to him. He says, tomorrow I trade my voice for potentially decades of life as we complete the final medical procedure for my full transition to full cyborg. The month I was told statistically I would be dead.
Well,
I'm not dying. I'm transforming. Oh, how I love science. That's what he had to say.
He's so interesting because what he's doing he's getting rid of his organs.
In order to live. Right.
He's getting rid of his throat. And he's getting rid of his organs, but it's giving him decades of life. Because that's what's like, basically, he's doing the thing of being like, oh, my organs are going to fail? Get rid of them.
Wow.
Oh, my throat's going to stop working? Get rid of it.
Yeah, he says, we're within touching distance of changing everything. I'm not dying, I'm transforming.
It's scary and fun.
It is. Hey, man. It makes
the hairs in the back of my neck stand up. I think it's very interesting.
Wow. According to Silicon Valley, apparently cyborgs will rule the planet within 80 years. That's what a British scientist has claimed.
Oh, they've been saying that for a long time. But honestly, they're going to be, I really feel like, again, the first thing we're going to see it in is like in sports.
Yeah.
I really do believe.
That would be cool. I mean, I'm fine with it.
But that's how they sell.
It's like those all sport commercials.
That's how they sell it to the American public. You know what I mean? It's that thing where you show, like, look, they're fun. Now Ubers can also kill a tank. Like, all that kind of shit. And for the first couple of years, they're going to be like, oh, this is fucking metal.
Yeah.
But then, like, once it's slowly the tide gets turned.
Right.
And only the rich have them.
Well, and to that point, one Silicon Valley billionaire has even paid $10,000 to be killed and have his brain digitally preserved. So I don't know what to think about that.
But again, I think that these are equal opportunity things. I think that we should be giving military drones to kids from inner city schools. I think they need it.
They do need it. It's great training. I mean, they probably are already training them on that because they tend to recruit those kids to be in the military. We also had one story where an Abe Lincoln impersonator was arrested for child pornography.
And that's really the whole story.
That's the whole story.
And guess what, man? And when he takes the hat off, he looks a lot less like Abraham Lincoln.
Much more like a pedophile.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So watch out for people who impersonate people in power because you think people in power are bad. Just think about how bad the people are who want to be them.
Never date like a Tom Cruise impersonator. What that would be like, kind of headspace you have to get into.
Honestly,
to pretend to be in.
I was thinking about this, and not to malign any of
our
talented friends, but to be like a Trump impersonator or like a Biden impersonator or Obama, like, you do not have long to go.
Well, that's why, you know, there's certain, like, everyone got really happy for, like, Kamala Harris being VP, and then Maya Rudolph gets, like, a whole big spin on Saturday Night Live. So it can end up being very profitable, but depends on who you're attached to.
Yes.
Like we talked with our buddy Tony and Tamanik when he was like right before the 2016 election. I remember him pulling off the Donald Trump wig going like, God, I can't wait to stop doing this guy. It's like, fuck, holy shit.
All right. Well, let's get to Hero of the Week. I moved to California because California is full of heroes, and this man might
every
be
day.
The most...
New heroes born every day. They get off the bus.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. A California man. This fella's name is Chad Little, but nothing little about what he did.
Mm-mm.
California man uses cans of Bud Light to fight a wildfire. A California man used cans of Bud Light to prevent his property from going up in flames amid another massive wildfire. He's a Vacaville homeowner. Name is Chad Little. The family started packing up. They're like, we got to get out of here. But Chad said, no, one more thing. We got to save the house. But he didn't have any water around. So what did he have?
The next best thing to water. The closest thing.
Closest thing
to water that exists.
That saved people from things like the Black Plague. And other things.
You
I don't
actually,
know if Bud Light was around, but yeah, there was mead.
Yep, there was mead.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what the Vikings drank, because it was the closest thing they could have to clean water.
Yes, indeed. And of course, maybe the Vikings didn't need to have as much energy as they had given what they did. But nonetheless, he had 36 beers lying around that he hadn't yet drunk. And he says, this is according to him, he says, this happens. And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't let it go regarding his house. The fire approaching, Little was prepared to fend off the inferno, but he didn't have any hoses. It was burning on the wood down low, and I didn't have any water, Little told the station.
This just sounds like a fucking fable.
It really was.
Like all the kids are around a fire, and yeah. Like, tell the story again.
Yes, it was burning on the wood down low, and I didn't have any water. I had one barrel with a little bit of water in it, and I tried using that. It didn't work. So what did he do? He realized, Eureka! 36-pack of Bud Light is right there. When I ripped up the sheet metal, it had a nail, so I was just shaking it up, popping it just, and spraying them, popping it out, grabbing another one. My buddies all tease me about drinking water beer, and I say, hey, saved my shop. And yes, it did. The fire department arrived just as he finished using the brew to put out the flames around his shop. This man is a true hero. I would love to buy him a 36-pack of Bud Light myself.
Yep.
And say, here's your reward, my friend.
And Post Malone need to get together.
If Bud Light does not use this man in a commercial and give him some money, I don't know what else they need. This is the greatest marketing of all time. Yes, it is drinkability. But even
it's
the,
water, yeah.
Even,
I mean, you
no,
can
it's,
drink
it's
a thousand.
Beer. It's beer. But even the Bud Light Knight would be proud of what Chad Little did. And if I see this Bud Light Lime Knight coming at my Bud Light Knight, I'm still pissed about what they've done with the Bud Light Knight. He never did anything wrong. And all of a sudden they have the Bud Light Knight or the Bud Light, the Platinum Knight. Get the fuck out of here.
Sir, please. Please, sir.
I'm just saying,
take your wings and go, sir.
I have yelled at the TV when I saw the Bud Light Platinum Knight coming in, trying to dethrone the Bud Light Knight because the Bud Light Knight has been protecting the village. And as we just saw, Bud Light Platinum didn't stop a wildfire, did it? It was Bud Light proper.
I don't like Bud Light Platinum.
I don't like it either because it's just... It is a... I forget what it used to be. They just rebrand. I don't like it.
It was like Bud Ice.
Yeah, it was like Bud Ice or some crap. Anyway, Chad Little, you are this week's Hero of the Week. And I am very happy that your shop has been saved because of the powers and the wonders of Bud Light.
Yep. Wow. That's what an inspirational story.
It really is, isn't it?
And just another uncle just got braver this weekend.
He was a father.
It's incredible. I want to read this one thing. What I love is there was, I forget what Reddit subreddit this is, but I went down like a line of like people like talking about like overcompensating, like weird things where like guys being hyper masculine online.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I just wanted to read this little copypasta that I thought was really fun. I handed my wife a knife and I told her to try and stab me. She will never question my abilities to combat me ever again. Within a split second, it went from in her hand to the air to across the room and in my possession. No, she wasn't trying to hurt me, but she wanted to know exactly what I would do unarmed against someone with a weapon if the situation ever arose. Without even having to move my legs or shift, she was disarmed. It got her gears going quite a bit. Winky face, winky face, winky face.
What is that?
I don't know, but he said this is the title of that post was, "This is my cousin's 5'4" husband."
All right. Very, very manly of you.
It just made me laugh.
Very good.
All right, I got some cryptid stories that I thought were really funny. Because right before we left, we did the Beast of Boggy Creek.
Beast of Boggy Creek.
Obviously, some people were, you know what I want to say, even those that were slightly triggered by our speaking and attitude towards Arkansas.
I was very nice towards Texarkana.
Texarkana.
Yes,
people
indeed.
People were very supportive of us, which is really nice.
Apparently, there's some racial connotation as well. To the Beast of Boggy Creek.
What do you mean? Oh, yes.
It was one of those sundown towns it was like they kind of used it to...
Well, we don't know, but we definitely... It's not... It didn't seem like it was a super friendly place. but here we go.
I'm sure it's much friendlier these days.
Apparently, people keep saying nope. Everyone said nope. Falk is exactly the same as it was.
All right.
My grandpa's uncle, Dub Uncle Ed, owned land near Falk.
Wait, they dubbed him Uncle Ed?
This is what they did.
Is his name Ed?
I mean, who knows? It was probably something like Clarp, and they needed to change it because those names aren't around anymore.
They just dubbed him. I mean, that's a southern way of knighting somebody, to dub somebody.
Your now name is Ed because it's easier to say when we're drunk. Think an RV park for maybe around 5 RVs. All right, it was basically a hole in the woods with some gravel in the ground. Uncle Ed rented out spots for trailers for family and friends to come hunting. We used to go down there for hunting until Uncle Ed died.
Aww.
We were there that weekend celebrating Thanksgiving. And while hunting in the early morning, we get a call from Ed's wife, Joanne, telling everyone to come back. When we get back, we saw an ambulance driving out. Joanne said Ed and his son Mike were in their tree stand when something came up and started scratching. Ed fell out of the stand and was attacked by it. And it was brighter out. Grandpa went to check out what could have been. Now, bears are popular in the area, but scratch marks were higher than 8 feet tall. Right. Black bears in the area. They're almost a little taller than Henry. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Yes, indeed, sir. But they're about 5'8".
Uncle Ed died because the closest hospital was about an hour away from where we were.
Oh,
yep.
That's why.
That's very sad.
That's very sad.
Nat funeral.
It's just because they couldn't get to a hospital. Like, there's... Yep. Maybe we need more hospitals.
Honestly, maybe they should look into it, having some kind of doctor in Falk.
Yeah, maybe.
At the funeral, Mike went on and on about how this had to be the bog man. And that old boggy was out to get him, so he needed to leave town. And after a very, very short investigation, Mike was arrested for murdering Ed, of course. Mike pushed Ed out of the tree stand, slashed him with a knife, where they found 10 feet from the stand, and he crawled up the stand to make marks.
Oh, my goodness.
And he tried to blame it on the Bog Creek Monster.
Well, it didn't work, huh?
Nope.
I always find it's better to blame it on something that's real, you know? Because that's a good way to kind of get out of it there.
Or hide the murder weapon.
Yeah.
Here's another story about just sometimes, and I honestly think that Kissel himself, you will commiserate with this more than anything else.
Okay.
Now, towards the end of quarantine, I moved back home with my parents instead of living with my roommate at our apartment for college. My grades and mental stability were rapidly decreasing. It was just about the best move for to be back in the company of loved ones. Got it. I got into the habit of going on walks and hanging out in the small wooded areas near and around my neighborhood and maybe quite possibly smoke some herb and most of all of these walks.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Got to chill out. Well, my neighborhood is full of catty-ass, busybody Karens and old people who have nothing productive to do with their time and gossip like middle school.
Just because you're going out to the woods and smoking weed.
That's it. But I don't know how you know this, but this is true.
He's the busy guy?
Well, one day, word gets around complaining of a foul skunk-like smell and a tall, lanky, black figure in the brush towards the far end of the field behind our home. I automatically think back to the previous mentions of skunk apes and big feets and friendly fellows of that sort. Now, after that, I recall the time recently I'd snuck out of my house at night to enjoy a nice, hot, carrot-shaped bowl of my stank dank. Okay. So in my basement, I have a massive window that leads to the small pit. Now, it's only about 6 feet long and about 4 feet wide, but it's a good 6 to 7 feet deep, perfect for sitting down in a nice spring or summer night. Towards the end of my first bowl one night, in the pit, hearing an unearthly cry of pain ring through the dark neighborhood. Oh!
Whoa.
It sounded like the noise Henry made at the beginning of the episode, except chills through my bones. Mm. I hurried up and finished the bowl, and another one, maybe two more of them. Because damn if I'm going to get some beast to stop me from my quest.
Yes, indeed.
After making these connections, I think to myself, oh my lord, do we have fucking skunk ape in Monroe, fucking Michigan? Impossible. Monroe is located above Ohio, and a 45-minute drive south of Detroit. I'm ecstatic at the prospect of something mysterious going on in my neighborhood. Then the field where the figure was found out was the location of one of my smoking spots. Now, I'm a 6'3", lanky-ass male.
Uh-huh.
I always wore all black, even on the hot summer days. And I have a black long-sleeve shirt and jeans on, and I have long black hair.
Cool guy.
I just realized I was a skunk ape I was now dedicated to find. it's been me. Somewhat disappointed at the realization that my town was as boring as ever, I reveled in the fact that I was somewhat a cryptid in my own eyes.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, he was definitely very stoned. Well, good for him. I'm the busiest guy in Monroe, Michigan.
But truth be told, if you can't find a cryptid, maybe it's good to be your own.
I completely agree with that. Well, thank you all so much for shooting those emails our
way. Oh, and the big thing is we got a lot of George Murison still alive.
George Murison is still alive. Oh, also,
the most recent side story is stuck in a pipe. Ben wondered aloud, not for the first time, if George Murison was dead yet. Happy to report that he is not. Murison yes. lives in Maryland with his family. He is incredibly charitable, a community leader.
I love George Murison.
And though his health isn't great, he has a few more good years left in him. Now, reason I'm sending this in is I used to date one of his very tall sons in college.
Aww.
Been listening since the early days, and the Murison references over the years just always made me laugh.
That's great. I love George Murison. Also, there's another person I said was dead who is still alive, but now I'm forgetting who that was.
There's always one.
There's always one. And
we just said it, too.
I know.
Oh, yeah, you said Pele was dead.
Pele is still alive and kicking, literally.
We don't know a single goddamn thing about soccer. We don't know anything about soccer. I know that one woman took her shirt off. Do you remember in that celebration of the women's soccer? They got very upset.
I think it was Ham. Yeah, people were ridiculous. But I love the women's soccer team. They win. I watch them.
I like a winner.
I like a winner.
And I love our female soccer team, and I invite them over to any one of our homes.
Kick your friggin' ass. I'll tell you that much.
I'll buy them a bunch of beer. I'll buy them some ham.
I love everything.
I don't know what
about
a female soccer team wants. I'll buy them ham.
I'm just happy that they win, and I love every one of them.
And I also, and you know what? They're out there doing a good word for America, being honest and not cheating at soccer. Not like these FIFA guys.
Yes,
indeed.
Because
I think some of these FIFA guys are like the mafia over there.
FIFA is incredibly corrupt. Absolutely. They're worse than the Russians. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this side stories. Hope everyone had a good time. Not apologies, but we're happy to be back for this week.
So good to be back. I missed being with you.
Of course.
And that's why, you know, I live every day wondering, will I get to a microphone today?
Do you really wonder that?
I do.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes I'm like, oh no, I have to be in front of a microphone today. Because sometimes you have sour brain. And little evil, horrible thoughts.
Yeah, of course.
But today, I'm learning to let those thoughts go.
Good.
Like clouds in the sky.
Great.
It's mindfulness, Kissel.
I love what you're doing.
Inner experience, Henry Zebrowski. And I laugh just thinking about former me.
That was just like 9 days ago, you?
Yep. Yeah. What that fucking schmuck was like. Talk about schmuck of the week. Every week.
Wow.
Before we got to relax a little bit.
Take
a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah, but 100 hours straight.
Uno is about people.
Yeah, you played Uno with Jackie with a brain full of mushrooms.
Uno is about connection and family.
Okay,
and
that's
my commercial for Uno today.
Okay,
and also Spring Hill Jack coffee, because it really does. Because I got Jackie hooked on the cold brew too.
Great,
and all of us. And I'm fucking supercharged right now.
I love it.
I'm fucking riddled with it.
I can tell.
And then I just laugh, thinking about all of the thoughts I let go.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of those thoughts are, you know, why we have a successful network. And I maybe grab a few of those thoughts back because, you know, it's good
you mean
for
bits?
Performance.
I should think about what I'm going to say before.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I could do probably a little bit more constructive bit building. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. But you know what? When it comes down to it, and the reason why I want to is I want to entertain you to the fullest.
Yeah, I know you do.
I want you chortling. I want you edutained.
Yes, you do.
And I want your breasts filled with the milk of peace, love, and understanding.
That's the best kind of milk there is. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Side Stories. We're happy to be back with you. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
If you have a rocket, send it our way. We would love to ride it. That's what I want. I want a rocket pack now.
You sound like we're going to shove dildos up our ass and just
send it our way.
One of those, like, you know, when someone else controls the vibrator. Like,
oh,
controls.
I've seen those videos.
Oh, yes.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.